Referring back to Genesis tonight, we started something the other night, and well, it was a few nights ago preaching. We started something and thought we'd kind of orbit around it a little bit, see what we could do, explaining some things. There's some mysteries within these teachings, some real wonderful, deep mysteries. But I know that I can't bring them out unless the Lord would do so, though He has brought them out to me very clear, and I don't have any problem with word expression or knowing what to say, but I know that He has to tell it, and He has to speak it, and I'm just like any other minister. I can talk with you, and I can tell you all about it, and I can memorize it, and I can make it so clear until it would look like it was the Lord talking, and I would only be telling what the Lord had told me, which that's fine, no complaint. But that's not like God using us and talking through us. It's one thing, you know, for me to talk and tell about God. It's another thing for God just to speak through me and use His own body and tell about Himself. A lot of people say, well, God couldn't tell about Himself. But the Bible teaches that the Holy Ghost is God. And this Holy Ghost that we're speaking of is the Spirit of Christ. And when He comes, He will testify of me, Jesus said. So then that means it is not you speaking, but it is Christ speaking from within you. And I know a lot of ministers like to feel that way. They say, well, I'm a preacher, so when I'm preaching, it's not me speaking, it's God speaking. But that don't mean nothing. It can be them speaking all the while, and usually it is. But there are occasions where people do give themselves to God, and it is God speaking, and it's not just a matter of them telling about God or telling a Bible story or getting inspired to say something concerning Christ. But it's actually God speaking. And though I'm not a very good example, I'd like to be a far better example of Christ speaking through me, but He has spoken through me, and I just love for Him to speak through me, so I don't have anything planned when I come to the sacred desk. I always just trust Him and believe in Him that He'll speak through me. And on occasions, He does. So, I'm here as a helper of your faith. I'm here to indoctrinate you, teach you. I'm not just here to bring you a revelation. There are preachers that travel through the land and they say, I don't preach doctrine. And they don't. That's because they're of the devil. See, but the thing is, the Bible said, who can I teach doctrine? They that are weaned from the breast. And the Bible said, and when you come together, have a doctrine, have a tongue, have a revelation. When ministers come to you and they don't teach you doctrine, that's because God didn't send them. The Bible said, he that God sendeth will speak God's word. And so then when a minister of Christ comes to you, he will talk to you about God's word. And the word of God says doctrine. And the Bible said concerning the church, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, which was the doctrine of Christ. So I come up here to try to talk to you like that, try to have a doctrine, try to have a revelation. And occasionally we go into a revelation. If I find the Spirit right, then I know that God will speak. And occasionally we go into a doctrine. And then sometimes we just teach you. Paul said, I'm a preacher and a teacher. And sometimes we preach. It just depends. There's one Spirit, many operations. So Paul, the overseer of the Gentiles church, he said, I would that you were spiritual. I'd like to see you spiritual. Be spiritual, for God is a spirit. And they that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So be spiritual. The church of today is not very spiritual. Anywhere in the world I go, I don't find, as a rule, I don't find people spiritual. Pentecostal churches or any other kind of churches. They're emotional and they worship the Lord, and the Lord pours out His Spirit to the extent that the Spirit is poured out on the just and the unjust, the rain on the just and the unjust, on the tare and wheat, but that don't mean you're spiritual. So you come together, you know, you worship, these kind of things. But nevertheless, you can be spiritual. But to be spiritual, you've got to have God's Spirit in you. And if you have not God's Spirit, you're none of His, no matter if the rain does come on you. No matter how you can preach, no matter what you can testify, no matter where you go, no matter what you establish in life, no matter what you become in life, that don't mean you got God's Spirit. So then if you have His Spirit, then you belong to Him. If you don't have His Spirit, then you're none of His. And the rain is on the tare and the wheat to give those that are out in among the people a chance to come to God to a repentance. For the light is turned on and flashed on them, just like you take a picture of someone when the light flashes, it goes off and they're still in darkness. So then it flashes on you just enough to catch your attention and let you know that there is a light and there is God, and to give you a chance to follow after that light. I have revelation that God gives, and it is so beautiful because it is not like God just gives you a revelation. He will give you the revelation. And being fortunate through Christ, I am what I am by the grace of God. And with no merits, He's done that. I prayed for the Spirit of revelation and He gave it to me. And so, in that He did, then He gave me the understanding of revelation. And in this, the deep mysteries of God have unveiled themselves to me all the way through the Bible, from the beginning over to the end. And in a beautiful continuity, and that's not exaggerated. I know people exaggerate and they say things, you know, and they try to build up things and try to build themselves up. And we're not here to build nothing up. We just want to praise God and give Him glory, for this is true. This is absolutely true, without the slightest bit of exaggeration. He opened it all the way from Genesis to Revelation. I made it real clear to me, right on up to the translation, right down to what the world calls the nitty-gritty, right down to the very ultimate, right down to the detail, right down to the fine line, to the extent of every thought being brought into subjection to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. I started to say some things there concerning vision too, but maybe I won't. Anyway, these things the Lord has given us and shared with us, for which we're very grateful. And it's the hour for it, because this revelation was given to Paul in the beginning, come down through the church ages in part, and was to come to its full ultimatum in the end time. And everyone that gets this revelation will be of the family of God. If you do not get into the revelation, then you do not have His Spirit, and you will not be in the family of God. Now, you may not get it like as one to a measure so great, or another as to a measure so great, or another as to less. But 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, it might not be anything but God just revealing to you His simple plan of salvation by revelation, as to be baptized in Jesus' name. Just to get a revelation of baptism is a revelation. People who do not get a revelation follow a Trinitarian mode of baptism, and they find out in the end they're all together mixed up, that that's not remission of sin. And so it takes a revelation just for the knowledge of one God, one faith, one baptism. But then there is something so much greater and so much deeper. The meat is for the strong. They have, by reasoning, have exercised their senses to be able to discern between good and evil. And so then there's a great, mighty blessing of God for the deep thing. The Bible said, "The Spirit of God searcheth out the things of God, yea, the deep things." And the spirit world is deep to us. The deep calling unto the deep at the water spout of God. So then we refer back to these things because in this particular thing that we're talking about, there is some deep, wonderful mysteries that God has shared with us that we would like to bring, but time prevents it because of not having enough time. And then when we do get a chance to bring it, it's very rare. And then I also have to be inspired before I can really bring the revelation as to the deep mysteries of God, because I have to have a hunger and a thirst to share with you, which I have that hunger and thirst. Then I have to have a hunger and thirst for the revelation, which I have that thirst. But I have to have this stirred up to the extent that I have an audience that is hungry. It's like a mother that wants to cook a good meal. She can cook the meal. She has the talent and ability. And she may cook the good meal. See, she can be inspired to cook the meal. She can be inspired to set it on the table. But her inspiration comes from you being real hungry and eating it. When you hunger and thirst after spiritual things, then is when you get the revelation. If you don't have any hunger for spiritual things, then the minister isn't inspired to share with you spiritual things. Though he may share these things all day long with God, and that God will share with him. And of course, that's the case with me. All day long, seems like every day, God shares this beautiful, beautiful thing with me. As a matter of fact, something comes to my mind. It was, it's hard for me to keep up with the days anymore, but I believe it was yesterday, maybe not this morning. I don't know, it might have been this morning. But I was talking to my wife and I was sharing some things with her about the present day situation, as to the present day revelation. And I took time, not a lot of time, because she doesn't seem to have time either, because she telephone rings and the doorbell rings and the kids come and all kinds of things, and then she has to cook the meals. And so I just, while she was preparing a meal, I sat down and I shared with her some things as to a present day revelation that's happening right now, so that she could look beyond the veil, and maybe she already had, and sometimes she does see beyond it. And I shared with her, and while I was sharing with her, I took my time and detailed some things and put it together. And she said, I see that. I see that. Just to talk about it, I come here and I say, well, I'll tell you about what I understand of it. But it just isn't that easy. There has to be a hunger and a thirst. There has to be a concern, because I can tell you something, but I'll tell you a few little things and then there'll be a big gap and then I'll get grieved and I can't get enough hunger to place it in place, because I don't feel any drawing, so I don't have any inspiration to feed you. So I want to stop, and I want to quit, and I don't want to hurt you. So then I just try to keep from ever getting into it unless it is God inspiring me. Then when he comes with an inspiration, I know he wants me to tell you, and then I go right on, because I know that he'll provide the time. Even if some get up and leave, he'll still provide the time and provide the heart as to listen, because the Bible said the preparation of man's heart is from God. So if he's doing it, I don't worry about it. And I know it won't be messed up on tape, because some of them will get it. Because in a lot of cases, we have things that are on tape, just a little bit here and a little bit there, just enough to, it just doesn't pan out real good. So then, making reference in this particular scripture here, I don't know how much we'll say, maybe a few things, and it just depends. But there are some things there so deep, deep, deep as well, even different from what I shared with my wife as to a present day truth of some things happening. These are other things that are really wonderful and phenomenal, and these are things that your heart, if you really are a son of God, just your heart literally craves to know these things. It's the deep things of God. And even the things that I told my wife today, people who go on with God, their hearts just burn within them to hear these things. The Bible said, as he talked with them on the way to Emmaus, they said, did not our hearts burn within us when he spoke to us by the way? So then we find in the third chapter, in the fifth verse here, where it says here, Satan is telling Adam and Eve that they'll not surely die. He said, can't you eat of all the trees? He said, all but this one. And thou shalt not eat of this. He said, you'll die if you eat of this. So then he said, thou shalt not surely die, but God doth know that in the day that thou eatest thou of thine eyes, then thine eyes shall be opened, and thou shalt be as gods, knowing good and evil. So right here, we see the deception, we see that a lie is born, for he is the father of a lie. And right there, we see him bring that lie into power. And he hath caught Eve off away from Adam, and He would not dare to go to Adam. That beast would not have dared to go to Adam because Adam was the master of the garden. And Adam was illuminated with the Shekinah light of God, and Satan had to shy away from him. And he was the one that named all the beasts. He was the master. But catching the weaker species, as to the woman, away from the mind of the covering of her husband, and her being like a little child, innocent, not knowing, then he took advantage of her, and he talked with her. He enticed her first with talking, and then he enticed her, as it is said, with the tree of knowledge. And of course, it has spiritual significance there. And I say this to you because I've asked the question a number of times. Have you ever seen a tree grow knowledge? Somebody said, well, the apples that they ate, or the fruit that they ate from that tree, oranges or whatever it was. But have you ever seen a tree grow knowledge? Has there ever been one planted in the earth that ever grew knowledge? Have you ever seen a tree grow life? Has there ever been one in the earth that ever grew life? See, there were spiritual trees. Though Adam and Eve was made out of the dust, they was exposed to the Shekinah light of God. And because of this, this put them on an angelic level to where they could communicate with God, the great spirit. And that meant that if they were in that level of angelic communication, they could communicate with Satan also. So Satan took the advantage, and with this, reflecting the light from the tree of life for the purpose that he was put there for, then that meant that it gave him a chance to entice. And I said the other night, whether he spake or whether the devil spake through the beast, that is, as the spirit did through the donkey in the days of Balaam, nevertheless, whatever it was, it communicated with Eve. And so then catching Eve away from Adam, began to talk with her. Now I want you to notice this, that as he began to talk with her, the first thing he started doing was lying to her. She told him the truth. She said, we can't eat of that tree, we'll die. And he began to pervert her mind and began to lie to her. Now this is something I want you to notice. It is after this, the Bible says, and then when she ate of that, it said their eyes were open and they knew that they were naked. Now when the Lord came, they had hid themselves and was trying to cover themselves with fig leaves. And the Lord said, where art thou, Adam? And he said, we hid ourselves. Said that we were ashamed. That is, we hid ourselves, and it was because they found themselves naked. And the Lord said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Now, this is where the thing comes in right here. Who was it that told them that they were naked? Somebody did. God had never given them that kind of knowledge. God had never talked to them about anything like that. They'd never had any shame. There was no such shame as being naked. Being naked, how can you be ashamed because you're naked? The writer said, naked came I into this world, and naked shall I return thither. So then, what's wrong with that? See, what's wrong with that? There's no shame to that. There is no shame. If there's a shame to be naked, then that means an individual, whenever they go to dress in their own private home, then they're in a state of shame. There's no shame to that. That meant that the shame was not in God. God was not ashamed of them. Nor had God put this into them. It was Satan. It was a mind of Satan, a mind of debauchery, a mind of evil, a mind of corruption. Because this is what he told them. Your eyes will come open. Now, when you say eyes coming open, he wasn't speaking of their natural eyes, because their eyes were already open. They were not blind folks. They could see the birds, they could see the trees, they even saw this beast that was communicating with them. So it wasn't like they were blind that way, but he was talking about their eyes of understanding. When you eat of this tree, then your eyes of understanding will come open and you will be as gods. You will know good and evil. And sure enough, it took that to make them to know good and evil, because even though they already knew good in the sense that they had good and was covered with the Shekinah of good and had everything good. They did not know good because they'd never had anything that contrasted good. So then we know for sure that it takes bitter to reveal sweet. It takes darkness to reveal light. And the Bible said God created the darkness that he might form light. In that you cannot create light because God is light. We are God as being God can create molecular light, but we cannot create God who is light. Light created darkness so that darkness would become a form or a mold to bring light to images or to bring a creation into being. And it takes the darkness to be able to bring that light in. To create darkness is to make a mold, and then as to pour like a liquid into a mold, the light is pouring into the darkness. And so then through this, this is the way that beings come to be. This is the way images come to be. And so then God's whole creation had to go through an era of this kind of thing. And then when this is all over, God will take the church out of here. At the end of the church ages, he will change them into spirit. He will hide them away. But this thing of the mold continues on even through Daniel's week after the church is gone. So it had to go through all of this time, all of this mold, all of this mechanism of the world to mold an invisible angelic being. And then in the final analysis as to the great finale, change this body from a natural body to a spiritual body. There's a natural body, there's a spiritual body, there's a terrestrial body, there's a celestial body. The glory of the natural is one, the glory of the celestial is another altogether. Every star different than glory. So then in this, when he finishes with it at the end of the church ages, he'll take the church out, but by that time, the canker worm, the caterpillar, the locust, which is the people of the world called the worm. Like he said, Jacob, thy worm. And in the fire, the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. So being cast alive into the fire to be tormented. So then he speaks of the people as being locusts. And the people as being worms, like the locusts that went down in Egypt and just devastated Egypt. The people have come in, these evil spirits have come into human bodies and they've devastated the world. And they've destroyed much of God's creation. So he has to have 1,000 years of restoration to bring all of this back. So the mold continues on. But that 1,000 years will be without the curse. And then everything will be restored that the canker worm got, the caterpillar got, the years that the locusts consume. I will restore it, saith the Lord. So that is the time of restoration. Once he restores it, at the end of that, then the mole will be no more. The great light will come down out of heaven, just swallow everything up like that, and the heavens will pass away, the earth will pass away, everybody will pass away, and only Christ, as to the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, those that can be changed into the celestial world will survive this great thing. And it will be otherwise as a great fire coming down to consume Satan and all of his followers in the earth. Fire comes down from heaven to gather them and to consume them because he is released at the end of the 1,000 years for a little season to go about upon the face of the earth to gather together the seed of Gog and Magog, which is as the sands of the seashore that go up to Jerusalem to compass the throne where the Lord is and the 12 apostles, and fire comes down from heaven and consumes, which is the coming of the great light of God to bring in the celestial. It consumes everybody. It consumes everything. It consumes the heaven. It consumes the earth. Peter said, seeing that the very heavens will be on fire and the elements will melt with fervent heat, what manner of person ought we to be in looking unto and hastening unto the coming of the Lord, letting our conversation be in heaven and be holy, to lay up our treasures in heaven where thieves don't break through and steal and moth doesn't corrupt. For wherever your treasures are, there your heart will be also. All right, so then getting back to the theme of our thought here, straight off a little there. When we look at this, then they are told that they are naked. They have become as gods. They now know good and evil. They see the contrast of good because they now know evil. They could not get good out of that tree. All they could get out of that tree was evil because they already had good, had everything good. But they could not praise God for the good, nor be thankful for the good, nor recognize the good as the tree of life until they had partook of the evil, or they could not recognize the light until they partook of the darkness. And then in this, the plan of God was on its way to make them into Godship. Ye are gods, but ye shall die like men. So then it was his pleasure to make the God family. Satan was an instrument of creation that God made for this purpose. And we're not going to go into the details of those things, but it's very clear of why he made him, how he came to be, and what this is all about. Where his origin is, what his period of transition would be, and then the ultimatum as to the end of him. So it is said here, who told thee that thou wast naked? In other words, where did you get this knowledge? Where did you get this mind? What is this that you have done? God knew what they'd done. He said, have you eat of the tree of knowledge, which I told you not to eat of? He knew that they had. See, and it was evening time. Walking in the cool of the evening time. That means that it was the light. That day star was just about ready to go out. Depart from the garden. And everything was just ready for the expulsion. And they were ready to be put out of the garden. The flaming swords were to be put there by the cherubs, which we could go on for hours into these great, wonderful revelational teaching. All right, so he says, who told thee? Now, who did tell them? Let's look at it the way it is in the Bible. Eve was without clothing. And when she met this beast, she was completely without clothing. And she communicated with this beast naked. And he knew that she was naked because he knew evil. Satan had projected himself. And so then it was evil to him. But to her and Adam it wasn't evil. Is there anything evil about a man and his wife as to exposure? But here, this was not to be as to him because he was evil. He had an evil mind. And so in knowing this and seeing this, he told her that she was naked. This is the way he deceived her. This is the way he defiled her. This is the way he took advantage of her. And she went right straight to her husband. And then he knew and their eyes were open. And they knew that they were naked. And then they began to seek clothing, trying to hide themselves. No doubt Adam said, Eve, what have we done? We'd better get some clothing. We better cover ourselves up. God will be walking in this garden. What are we going to do? And in this, leaning to their own natural understanding, trying to find a way as to cover themselves, then they were in trouble. Now, this is what I said that for. That the Bible speaks of the covering of his glory. Adam had the covering of his glory. It was the glory of God that Adam was illuminated with. It was the glory of God that Adam emanated from, and the glory of God was Christ. The Bible teaches that man is the glory of God. Woman is the glory of man. But man is the glory of God. We reproduce God. Woman reproduces man. And so then, here it is. The glory as to the Shekinah covering was on Adam, and he was illuminated in his mind. All he knew was good. All he could see was good. Everything was good. Everything was pure. The Bible said, to the pure, all things are pure. And to the defiled and unbelieving is there nothing pure. Even their conscience is defiled. So there's nothing unclean of itself. So then we see something exactly opposite of God come into view, which was Lucifer. He was an angel, but he was lust, not love. He was exactly the opposite of God. It had to be that way, and he had to become the God of the human body because the human body was to be the mold, and he had to become the God of this world because this world was to be the place where the mold was to be processed. Paul makes it very plain as to the revelation. He said, and the creature being made subject to vanity, or that is subjected to the natural five senses of the human body, being subject to that because of survival as to eating and drinking and surviving in the earth. And the creature being made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him that subjected the same in hope. Not meaning that God had just put us down here in this awful turmoil, but it meant that he made us subject to do right or wrong by allowing the tree of life to be there and the tree of evil to be there. And in this, it made us subject to temptation. We were subjected to vanity, or that is allowed to be at the point in our life to where we could decide good or evil. So we were subjected to the vanity to this point that we could make a decision. And of course, God did it in hope, and we went, as through our father Adam, the other way. But all this was a plan of God, and he knew that, because he'd already slain the lamb, already had the blood on the seat of atonement before the world ever was, had everything set up for the process to take care of us. During the whole time of the episodes of these things, for 4,000 long years until Calvary would come. And the Bible said unto the elect, he gave us these things in Christ before the world ever was, and then brought them to light at Calvary, or then rent the veil and reveal these things to us. And Jesus said, now the great light is shining, and now the true light shineth. See, this light has been unveiled at Calvary. The veil's been rent in twain, and now the Christ has come, which was the glory of God, Christ, the glory of God, which had covered Adam, illuminating Adam to where Adam was protected, and as long as Eve abode within that, as to his understanding and governing power, then she was protected in it. So when she went into darkness, then she led him into darkness. And then when the darkness came, the light, the Shekinah left, because God could not look on iniquity. So this lasted 4,000 years. And then came this time, and Jesus preached and said, this is the condemnation that is in the world. Light has come, the rent veil. Understanding. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. So he doesn't condemn you over your failures. He doesn't condemn you over your faults. He went to Calvary for you to do away with that. In Adam, all have sinned and they die. But in Christ Jesus, all are made alive through righteousness. It's not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast, but it is the gift of God. Blessed is the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, and imputeth faith for righteousness, even the faith of Jesus Christ, which is the righteousness of God, by which we're sanctified, that the great spirit of eternal preservation and life might come into our hearts, interweaving itself, or that is to become interwoven with our spirit, making us the great God spirit, preserving our life. And right there's where the great mystery comes in. All right, so then we see that their eyes did come open. Their eyes did come open, and they were as gods. They did know good and evil, and God confessed this. Now man has become as one of us, lest he put forth his hand and partake of the tree of life and live forever. And he didn't say anything else. That is, you'll have to do that to live. Or that is, get him out of the garden before Satan through him can get to the tree of life, and then God would be at a total loss. So Satan reaching for this, as I said, come through the beast as one level of life. But he knew the woman was a higher level. So he come through that, trying to get back into that place where God had put him out of. That was a higher level of life with the woman. But he knew he had to get into the man because that was the ultimatum of life. But the only thing is, he couldn't get near the Shekinah. He couldn't get near Adam. He knew Adam was his master, and the only way he could do was subdue a beast, get through the woman, and then through the woman, using the woman, Adam not recognizing Satan because he did not know good nor evil, that this woman would go to him and be in the desire of his heart, that he would listen at her, and the very minute that he conceived of her thoughts, he would be defiled, and the Shekinah would go, and there he would be in the same condition that she was in. Though he was not in the transgression, as to the original transgression, he was not in it, but yet the sin was charged to him, and the Bible said, in Adam all die, or as the sins of Adam, because Eve was the flesh of Adam. All right, so then we see how that they knew that they had lost this covering. This is why they were naked. They had lost the covering of his glory. The glory, the Shekinah glory, had left. In the days of Solomon, Solomon speaks of this glory moving in. And in the temple, all this glory just flooding the place as to the glory of God. Then on other occasions, prophets speak of it as all of a sudden the glory of God moved in. And of course, the glory of God is Christ Jesus. For it is said, glorify thy name, Father. And the Father answered back to Jesus, I have glorified my name. Well, that is, he said, you I sent in my name. And Jesus said, I come in my Father's name. And everything that you have done was to glorify me. I have glorified my name and I will glorify my name. That is, I'll continue on till I take you to Calvary. And I'll continue on till I make you very God as the one with me. And my name will be magnified throughout the world, throughout the universe, throughout endless ages. For as he said to Israel, I've not chosen you because you are a great people. You are very few in number. It's not because you are a righteous people, for you are very rebellious. I've chosen you to make a name for myself, that all the world may fear God. That is, I've chosen you to where I can bring the name of salvation and redemption to keep people in the world from dying and going to hell because they're lost off from me and my Shekinah protection. And there is a power of lust called Lucifer that's devouring them. And who is this that eat my people like worms? So, all for our good. All for our good. So we can see here with a few little things tonight, a few little scattered remarks as we're making, that they knew then that they were naked. Now in this, the Lord later through the prophet spoke and said, you cover with a covering, but not of me. So here we see this. They said, we're naked. They couldn't cover with the fig leaves because though they were made out of the dust, and that's the first power as to the water level, that wasn't sufficient. They were innocent to start with and were covered by the trees to the extent that they were among the trees. But see, that would not do. They had changed from a water life to a blood life because they'd come into the beast realm. And God had made them out of the dust as to the water life of the first power. He had exposed them to the spirit of the Shekinah covering, which was the spirit life or the angelic life of the third power. And then they failed from the third power back to the second power that they might eventually go back to the first power. Oh, that is to say, from the dust thou art, to the dust thou shalt return. And though God in disgust said, I took you out of the ground to make a God out of you, and this is what you've done. You messed up everything, and now you're no more than the elements of the earth. You just go right back to the dust, which that is true as to mankind. But the thing is, being innocent, not knowing where there's no knowledge of sin, sin was not imputed, so the blood on the seat of atonement he knew would take care of them all the way down to Calvary. Now, Satan knew that this blood was there. He understood some of these things, and in doing it, he knew he could not get near the Shekinah light, but if he could get into Adam, he would have supreme rule. But the one thing he didn't realize was that when he got into Adam, that supreme rule, which was the Shekinah, as to the throne, which was Christ, the glory of God, the covering, would withdraw. And so it did, and death set in. The day that thou eatest out, thou shalt surely die. And then Satan was trapped in the body to that extent, but still he was pleased because he was in the tormenting places if he didn't stay in the body now. And he was pleased to be there because he had the Shekinah blessings of God that was upon man by the blood being on the seat of atonement all down through these 4,000 years and on down to 6,000 years. And that he could enjoy this all the way down because he was in the light and yet he wasn't in the light because he had a shield between him and the light. And yet he was drinking as a parasite the life through Adam, the God life through Adam, and building himself a kingdom as this great, vast kingdom of the world. and taken it out of the hands of Adam, because it was given to Adam, and him being the master of Adam, now Adam was his subject, and he educates Adam according to the tree of knowledge, and rules Adam through the power of lust, and makes havoc out of Adam and his children, and uses all of Adam's potentiality, and has control of all of Adam's kingdom, because he knows that Adam's been subjected to the five senses, and you can't tell man nothing. I don't care what you try to tell a man. I don't care if he's a laity, deacon, preacher. I don't care what you tell him. He's going to use his human senses and use his five senses. I don't care what you tell him. And then he's going to be convinced that he's doing the right thing and that he's right on the trail. And you can't get his eyes open. See, it's only God, through the great, wonderful act of God, that he can penetrate that impenitent heart and get in there and take out that heart of stone and place within them a heart of flesh, in that it is the very heart of God that we become the bone and flesh of Jesus. So then we preach, and the elect receive this. Them that were ordained unto eternal life receive it, and they were not ordained, they don't get it. They just continue on in their zeal. And the zeal of their house as to their building eats up God. So then we see him then get caught in the second power, the second realm. And from there, Satan has set up his kingdom. So there's a second power. We see this in the stars and in the moon. That is a second heaven. That is a second power. It doesn't have any light of its own. It is from the earth. And it is a mixture as with that as from the earth of nickel and rock that reflects the light. And it's in between. And it's climbed up, as we say, into the upper lintel. It shows the powers of Lucifer. And that's why the Bible said a third part of the stars will fall, because it has to do with 1, 2, 3. As proportionally speaking, God does things in terms of 3 as to Godhead and as to the God act. So then a third part of those things are nickel and rock. They're just reflectors. When you come to the second realm and you look at it, it's the same way. And when I say the second realm, we say that's the celestial. That's only the third realm as a typical thing as to the human beings that go to what they call the celestial or the heavenly bodies, because that's as far as they can go. The old serpent as to the human being can climb up to the moon, make his nest among the stars, and the Bible said he would do that because that's relative to earth, and then from thence I shall cast thee down to hell. Because that's only Calvary. Going that far, that moon will become his blood. That had to do with Jesus at Calvary, if we had time to get into all of that. But to get from there to the sun, that's the great thing. That's where the revelation is. That's not just a doctrine. You have to get from there to the sun. Now, we speak of the man in the moon, or the man on the moon. Since I was a child, I heard of the man on the moon. And sure enough, here goes the man to the moon. See, but he can't go any farther. There's no possible way a man can go into the sun. He can never do that. But the Bible does speak as the man on the moon, and it does speak as someone having control. But when it speaks of the sun, it doesn't speak of a man in the sun. It said the angel stood in the sun. And it takes us as angelic beings to enter into that great light, because Christ alone dwells in that light. And we are the body of the Lord Jesus, and we're the only ones that can go there. I've used a little illustration a number of times before. I have to hurry so till I just shy away, and I try to stop because I have to get to hurrying just to say him a few things, because this is so great, so lengthy, so mighty, so deep. But I use this little simple terminology as illustration. Go out into the sunlight, find two automobiles, a white automobile and a black automobile, or a dark colored automobile and a light colored. You go out there and you lay your hands on, I've done this, lay your hands on the black one, lay your hands on the white one. And the sun can be blistering hot. And that white one will get a little warm that you'll notice it, but it won't burn you. This black one will burn you. It'll get so hot you can't touch it. You'll have to get your hands off of it. Now, what causes that? God working all things after the counsel of his own will. This darkness shows intellectual reasoning. It shows human ego. It shows you as from your first birth of your own human reasoning that you got to get rid of every bit of you, and you got to die, and there's got to come a thought from God as to a seedling, that every thought of yours must be done away with, and you must come into subjection to Christ. You must hate your body, your life, everything about you as to your first birth. You hate that life. Though you don't want to injure the body is the temple of God, but in its present condition, it is rejected as the worm and must go through the metamorphosis. So then in this we say, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? God said, I despise that image. It's the bastard child. You've got the spirit of lust and the poison of asp under your lip. That is, you are the old serpent. Now, when people who are in this world do anything, if they are great Olympic stars, if they are great movie stars, if they're in the upper echelon, if they're with the celebrities of the world, or if they're part of the ecclesia of the world, if they have money, if they have talent, if they have appearance, if they have bodily appearance that looks good, muscular, whatever it might be, all of these kind of things, it makes them proud. And Satan is the spirit of pride. And they become arrogant, and the rich answereth haughty. See, and everything that they get knowledge makes them to be puffed up. I did that. Nebuchadnezzar walked along in his palace and said, look at what my hands have gotten me. Look at my great work. Look at my great ability. I'm a great king. And Daniel had already warned him that all glory belongs to God. And then there came, even as his grandson, the handwriting on the wall. So like right now, the hand is writing on the wall because everybody has gone to their diplomacies. Now they become a Babylon, and they're talking about their Olympic ability. They're talking about their movie star ability, their appearance. They're talking about their intellectual ability, their scientific ability. All of these kind of things are minds on the world and the things of the world. The love of the world, the love of the flesh. Satan saveth the things that be of the body, the things that be of your own intellectual, the things that be of the ambition of your life, whether religiously or otherwise. He's very religious. He can quote the scripture very good. He preaches. He preaches with a regularity. For the Bible said the ministers of Satan transform themselves into ministers of light, which means they can live like the devil, think like the devil, be filled with lasciviousness, turn the grace of God into lasciviousness, get behind the sacred desk or meet somebody and get fleshly exuberant and ambitious from the Spirit being poured out on the terror, and they'll transformate in mind to this word, which is called light, and begin to minister that word of light. All right, so when we see this, we know that what happens to that car is that the intellect absorbs all the glory. And because of that, they absorb the fiery indignation of God. And the Bible said that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. That's why they're taking AIDS, these people in the Olympics. That's why people are getting killed. That's why that thing's happening, Daniel. They'll turn out to be murderers and all kind of things. God despises them. He hates them. People cheer them on. People love them. People follow after them. But God hates their very image. See, but these that love the Lord, these that love the Lord, they're despised, they're rejected, the world loves its own. You are made the offscouring of the earth, but God loves you. Putting the flesh down, God loves you. Denying yourself, God loves you. When you go around here, even at Bethlehem, as I have some to do, they're so proud, they're so arrogant, they're so self-conceited, they're so sure that they're different from others, that they're greater than others, that they are somebody that's just outstanding. You know, and that God is looking at them so different. But I tell you before the living God that you are having strong delusions and you are being turned over to reprobate mind to believe a lie and to be damned. And when you get broken spirited and when you get broken hearted and when you look at yourself and you hate yourself and hate your life and when you hate everything in this world, and a lot of times you'll never do that till the pains come. You learn obedience by the pains. When the sufferings come, he that has suffered, he has ceased from sin. A lot of people never suffer because God don't expect them to cease from sin. They're already Esau's. And he allows them to go on and enjoy the things of the world. But the sufferings come, and the poor suffering, their sin sufferings, and they hear the gospel gladly, and the rich have their rewards. See, and so then when you come to all these pains and miseries and heartaches, sorrows, then you begin to say, I hate the world. Everything about the flesh, it torments me. I can't eat. I can't sleep. I can't do nothing. Everything here. I'd rather be dead. And sometimes people stick a gun to their head and kill themselves. Oh, somebody said, well, you won't get that way. Oh, yes, you'll get that way. Somebody said, but I'm serving God and I won't get that way. If you are like I'm talking about, you are so far from serving God. You don't know the fact that you're being religious and doing them things. You're well on your way to it. And it'll catch up with you. It'll catch up with you. And when it does catch up with you, you'll pay. Somebody said, well, I'll just take that chance. You don't have to take that chance. That's what I'm here for. I don't want you to have to take a chance. I'm telling you, it's that way. This is not a game of chance. That's what's going to happen to you. So you don't have to take a chance. Just go ahead until the dart strikes to the liver. You warn the fool, but the fool is conceited in his mind. He is positive that he can do it and will do it, and that I'm not telling him the truth, and he'll go on till the dart strikes to the liver. Have I had one to do that? Everyone that's come here that's went away, that I've talked to like this, everyone that thought there was something special that went out to do something, it's happened to every one of them. Not one, but everyone. One of them, and you are no exception. God hath no respect of person. Your human person, as Webster defines it, God does not respect it, not one bit. As to the contrary, he does not love it, he despises it. He said, I'll hate it in the morning, and Calvary was the morning. And when you come to the dawning of the understanding of God, you come to the knowledge of God, you are now in the hands of God. It's a fearful thing. You are now at the dawning of the day, of the day star, making you to know what's right and wrong, and now you are despised unless you follow the word to acknowledge it in all of your ways and get rid of every thought that you've got and every ambition you've got and let God take over. As the children used to sing a song, let God take over and he will make it right for you. All right, so then when we see these things, then we know what happened to Adam and Eve. God covered them. They were naked now. They could not be pleased unless they were covered. So he covered them. They dropped to the second level from the spiritual level and was not as of yet ready to return to the dust as to the first level. And that meant that he covered them with skins in the second level. And now they are relative to beasts and they live like beasts and they are in a manger. This world is a manger. And then they die like beasts. They eat like beasts. They're gullible like beasts. They live together without marriage or whatever. And them that are married, it doesn't mean anything at all. Not anything at all. Has to be married like it was said one time. Somebody says to a woman, isn't that a ring, a marriage there? Says, oh yeah, but that don't mean anything except that we keep secrets. So then that means that they are altogether corrupt. Someone would say, well, Brother Pine, let's differentiate now. And this one is and this one isn't. No, let's look at it the way the Bible says. All flesh is corrupted its way before God. You are not special. You corrupted yourself. Whether you're man or whether you're woman, you corrupted yourself. And you cannot do anything to get out of the corruption. You cannot do anything to save yourself. You cannot do anything to be special. You still are a stench in his nostrils. You are still pigs and you are still dogs, wallowing in your own mire and lapping your own vomit. And there's only one answer. Somebody says, well, but what about that when God changes us? God kills you because that's the condition you're in. And you are a wretched man with the poison of asp under your lip. And he kills you. That's why he sent Jesus to Calvary. Someone would say, well, now that's me. I'm dead but the body of Calvary. Well, why is it that you're so much alive and a thorn in my flesh and a trouble to the brethren and a problem in all that you do and vainly puffed up by your fleshly mind to think more highly of yourself than you ought to and not thinking soberly? Why is it that you haven't put the body down? For the Bible said we deny ourselves. We put the body down. We put our foot on the head of that serpent and we get rid of the poison of asp in that lip. So then why are you going on if he did that for you? See, the mere fact that you do those things prove that you was not crucified. But as the song we wrote, crucified with him, See, when you are dead with Him, His Spirit comes into you. And the first thing you start, even as a little baby, denying yourself, hating that image, wanting to get away from it. You want to put it down. You want to have self-denial. You want to fast. You want to pray. You want to get away from flattery. You want to get away from the opposite sex if you are a man. And you want to be clean, and you don't want to laugh and talk and joke with them, and you don't want them admiring your face, and you don't want to croon them, you know, and you don't want to get up there even as a preacher and be a pretty boy and act all sorts of ways to get their attention and go through all these demonstrations that they go through to be an orator. See, you hate that, you despise that. Now, when you do that, then it's proof that you got the same spirit that Jesus had, because you are putting the body down. His body never found rest day or night. His body never was allowed to do one thing. He's our example. We should follow in His steps. And the Bible teaches that He never done one thing that I know of. Not one thing for the flesh. Not one thing. And then when Paul come along as the overseer, he said, follow me as I follow Christ. The Jews did what they did, and what happened? God rejected them. God rejected them, and He's going to put them through the fire. So then when we see these things, we understand that He covered them with a covering, and that covering was skins. That covering was skins. And I say this again, that's why that Brother Pike teaches the natural covering of the clothes, and you can't run around in shorts and all these things like you would like to run around in, because God put them on clothes, and I'm not going to take the clothing off of them. And He put them on, and He knew that they needed them, and I'm not going to tell them that they don't need them and justify those kind of things. And He was the one that told the woman to be shamefaced, to shy away from the man, and not be showing her teeth all the time and grinning and protruding like some minister's wife does. They've got to be there, and they've got to be that first lady. And they've got to dabble around with the men, and they've got to get with the ladies so they can get with the man. And they've always got some kind of project, something to do to get to those men. And they always got to get together, the husbands and the wives, and get with them. And here we go. See, and the men won't get with the men, and the women won't get with the women like they do at Little Bethlehem. And I know I have plenty of trouble here where they get together all the time. I know that. And they won't hold that segregation. And the first news you know, they go down to the pit. Just like one is to all of them. It's the same way. See, and I'm not going to tell them not to be shamefaced, because it has to do with the veil. And I'm not going to tell the man not to be grave as a dead man before them. That their nerve senses, their human senses, won't make contact. That's why they're dead. That's why they're grave. It's so they won't make contact. But show me people that do that. Show me. Somebody said, well, why do you preach it? Because that's what He told me to preach. That's what He requires of you. That's what you're going to have to answer for in the day of judgment. That's why you're not fit and ready to do anything. You're still in the flesh, walking in the flesh, interested in the flesh, and you'll never do it. No matter what you go to do, you are fleshly, and you're going to work that thing around and be right in the mire, wallowing in the mire and lapping your own vomit. It'll be exactly that way. So then, not only that, but what you'll do, the person who you know, you're going to be something great. You're going to be something outstanding. You're going to be somebody special. Like a number of the fellers have told what would happen to me and what they was going to do, how they was going to take the people and how it's going to be great. And what happened to them? Women overthrew them. They died out. Things went contrary to them. And somebody said, well, don't you believe there were prophets? It's like somebody was saying, a number of people, you know, if Brother Pike would die, then I would be a prophet. Why do I have to die so that you can be a prophet? Did Elijah have to die so there could be another prophet? There was a number of prophets in the New Testament all at the same time. See, that shows that you're childish and foolish, that you don't even have good understanding. And it shows that you're vainly puffed up by your fleshly mind, and that you're not interested in Christ, nor exalting Christ. You are looking for personality, and you're looking for natural advantage. You're just a little baby, just messing your diaper up. So what you need to do is learn and understand. Look and learn, as it was said to Washington.
So then, here's Washington, the great, mighty general, a spiritual man that prayed in the snow. He's leading the whole nation. But when the angel come, it said, "Son of the Republic, look and learn." He didn't want to learn nothing. He said, "Who let you in here? I gave orders for nobody to be in my study. How did you get in here?" And then as he started to open his mouth again, he froze up and he couldn't speak. So then I say all these things to you to let you know that you're not covering with the covering of God. Where is the covering of God? You're covered with skins. You've got to die. You've got to go to Calvary. You are a beast. You are in a stable. You are a generation of vipers. And unless you go to Calvary as that first man, you belong to Adam and unto death. And unless you are born again as that second man, it's a new thought, a new mind, a new body, a new world, a new desire, then that means that you don't have the Spirit of God, and that means that you don't have the Shekinah covering of His wonderful glory. As to your inner man, the spiritual man, the second man, the Lord from heaven being translated into this wonderful Shekinah spirit that withdrew from Adam, coming back inside of you, and your spirit translated into this marvelous spirit will make you think as Christ, act as Christ. All of your conversation will be in heaven. All of your treasures will be laid up in heaven. All that you want to do will be of God. Everywhere you go, everything you say, everything that you do, and that will be the inner man. And if you don't have that spirit, you'll never be like that. So we're going to stop right there, because we could go on and go on with this. We're just barely scratching the surface. What am I saying? I'm saying that you can do what you want to, and it ain't like Brother Pike don't want you to do it. It's my pleasure, if you're not going to line up with God, my pleasure for you to do it very quickly. The Lord gave Judas a sop and said, "What thou doest, do quickly." He was glad to get him out from among them. He'd been among them all that time, obtained part of that ministry, doing all those things, but Jesus knew that he wasn't right. And he said, "The Son of Man goeth by this man," said, "but it'd been better if he'd never been born into the world." So see, it ain't like I want to keep you back. If you are a laity, if you are a deacon, if you are an evangelist, if you are a pastor, if you've got a zeal, I'm not contrary to that. I've given men tents. I've given Lincolns. I've given trailers, tractors. I've given tens of thousands of dollars. They squandered it, throwed it away like a bunch of children. But nevertheless, I've done that to help them. See, here and overseas and everywhere else. But the mouths have to be stopped. The Bible said there's some mouths that have to be stopped going about subverting whole households. And a lot of times by doing these things, you put their foot in their mouth. And every time they go to open their mouth against you to hinder what God's got or to tear down something, somebody says, "Well, I don't understand you saying it. Didn't they give you such and such? Haven't they been good? I heard." And then their mouth is stopped. So then we give as to the rain on the unjust, just like the just. And Judas's mouth was stopped for the love of God. Stopped his mouth, and you overcome evil with good. So I'm not against you. I'm for you. I am trying to do one thing. If there's one tiny little potentiality to be redeemed or where I can reach you, I want to reach you. But I'll come to that place when I'll say, "Go on, Balaam." As a matter of fact, I've been talking to the Lord in the last day or two. And I said, "Lord, I feel that I've said about all I can now in pressing the issue right down to the line, to get some of them in line, to make them know what you want, and to honor you and to follow you. And I got some that's still going to do what they want to do. I've done picked it up, and now I don't need to say anything else to them, Lord, unless you want me to say something to them. I need to leave them alone now and let them think everything's kosher and everything's well, and just let them drift on off into what they're going to do." And that's what I'm fixing to do. So, but at the same time, I'll still be preaching, and little things will come along, and you'll hear different things, and you'll think that I won't be doing that. But I will be doing that. I've already come to that place. Now, coming down to this point tonight, I took not a lot of time. This ain't been a lot of time for a service. This is nice. Somebody said, "Well, I think that's too long." No, I don't feel that you do, and it's not too long. As a matter of fact, another good hour of preaching wouldn't be too long. But I'm going to let you go. I've said these few things just to stir your mind up, and I'm trying to bring something in bits and pieces that I might one day link it all together, at least in a continuity of a measure to a periodic concerning God, or a periodic of time, and let you see at least that much. Because we're dealing with the great, mighty mystery of Almighty God. And the Bible teaches, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, caught up into heaven. And so then I'm trying to make you to understand this, that this is God manifested in the flesh, that this is what it's all about. This is his purpose in you, and it's up to you as to submission and surrender. And if, as in the vision, there's something there that when this word comes, though you may listen at it, and though you might say, I'm cataloging that, and I've got that, and I'm putting this down, you might have your little notes and whatever, as I see them write a lot of time, or you might have your companion getting it all down in case you miss some of it, and y'all are comparing notes afterwards, but it doesn't matter what you do, you're still carnal. See, you are still, when the word comes out, you're turning it away. By your carnality that's enmity with the word or with God or enmity with the mind of Christ, you're turning it away like I saw in the vision, and it's not going in. You're not conceiving of it. It's not penetrating your impenetrable heart. So then we'll leave that to you. That's between you and the Lord. Let's everybody stand together. Remember, you cover with a covering, but not of his covering, not of his glory. And unless you have Christ, unless you have Christ and unless you're illuminated with Christ, then you don't have the covering of his glory. Though the covering of his glory is on the seat of atonement as to the blood in the second rim to allow blood life to continue on till the church comes out from among them, yet it is a true fact that as to the spiritual, as to the Shekinah covering, you don't have that until you go by the way of Calvary. You have to go through that which is Calvary or the Lamb to be able to get this third measure or this third proportion. So that means they get to the moon, but they can't get any farther. That's just a launching pad for us. The moon shall become his blood. The stars shall fall from heaven. The moon will lose its light and turn as becoming blood or as the appearance of blood, to show that God hath rejected that, and that the wrath of his heat has been turned upon it, and it will heat up like a red coal, and the stars will do the same, and they'll blow apart and rain down as hail and brimstone. Revelation 8, and hail and brimstone is coming down, mingled with blood. And so then we're going to see all of this and the Star Wars and these kind of things. If we had time tonight, as to go in through some of the things we did with Betty, as talking about the present day truth, we could bring this out. A lot of times if I speak about the presidency, if I speak about dignitaries, if I speak about natural people out there in the natural activities of life, rich or poor, whatever, somebody says, why don't he stick with the Bible? Why don't he stay with the saints of God? Why don't he preach the gospel? What is he doing messing with politics? See, that's because they're ignorant. They don't understand that that's what the prophets did. They came with a thus saith the Lord. God was interested in that kingdom. He was interested in that ruler. That's why he raised David up and raised Solomon up and raised the others up. See, he was interested in the kingdom. He was interested in the powers of legislation. He was interested in that which dominated his people and forced them to certain issues. And that's what the prophets is for. And that's what the word of God is for. And that's what we're for. As to the ministry. That's why they tried to kill Paul. He that has turned the world upside down hath come here, they said. And the law got on him right away. That's why the law got on to the early church, because of that. See, but I just shy away from it, and I go on, if you're little children, and I just talk to you about the things on your level. But in talking to my wife today, we went through some of these things as pertaining to that which is happening in the power of legislation right now, to the presidency and what's going on and why it's happening and what's going to come out of it. Let's just sing a little chorus today or tonight. Today I was going to say that we went over to the cabin. I'm trying to hurry along here. Went over to the cabin, got over there and talked to the boys early this morning, and it really helped them. It really helped them. Said a lot of things to them, and they received it real well. And it's just a little exhortation. And the same exhortation I'd like to bring out here tonight, but we don't have time to do all those things. Just a little bit here and a little bit there. Line upon line, precept upon precept. Let's sing a little chorus together. sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, precious Spirit, sweep over my soul. For my rest it is complete while I sit at your feet. Precious Spirit, sweep over my soul. Can you sing with me? For we've anchored the soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. I need Thee, Lord, I need Thee every hour. I need Thee, and I need Thee now, precious Savior. Oh, how I need Thee. So don't, the altars are open if you'd like to come, away. So don't turn him away, for he hath come back to your heart once again. So let Jesus in to stay. For oh, how you'll need him just to plead your cause on that eternal day. So come to the Savior and hear his loving voice, and don't turn him away. Can you lift your hands up? While we've got our hands up and our eyes closed, think on these things, because I want so much to share with you. My heart is enlarged to you, and I know that some of you are hungry, but I know our little routine of services, I understand that, and no matter how hard I try, it would never work. So I just keep on feeding you like little children, asking you to desire the sincere milk of the word that you might grow thereby. And then I drop a little bit along every once in a while to see if there are some that's exercising their senses that'll latch on to it, and that in doing it, they'll dig into it. They'll dig into it. And I know, you know, I know the way you're going to go. You're going to go with all this laying on of hands and the show boys and television and magazines and radios and newspapers and Olympics and worldliness and all of these things, you know, that It's so childish. But that entertains you, that you enjoy, that you like. You say, I feel that. And you do. The rain's on the just and the unjust. And you do. And they're having themselves a time. But again and again, as always, it always shows up the same way. Every bit of it goes the same way. When it comes to the doctrine of Christ, you find out they don't teach the doctrine of Christ. When it comes to the life of holiness, you find out they don't live the life of holiness. And when it comes to you following and admiring them, It's that two can't walk together lest they be agreed. They stir something up in you because you are in agreement with them. That's what you're hungering for. That's what you're thirsting for. That's what you want. And that's what draws you, because that's what your appetite is for. So then you just go along, but nevertheless, in the midst of you, though there be few that find it, though it's a little flock, there's always the one or two. There's always those, like I saw in the vision when the rapture took place. I could have counted them the best I remember on my fingers, on one hand, as to what I saw leave the earth as to the rapture. When all the lightning, the bombing, the flashing, whatever it was taking place. You know, and it's going to be so few, so very few. So you that love the Lord, you that are those that are counted for the rapture and the resurrection, you stay with the Word of God. You stay with the life of holiness. You stay with the doctrine of Christ. You stay with self-denial. You don't let them stir anything up in you. Don't go around running at them. Somebody says, well, Brother Pike, I don't care about it. I just love to see them. And I just laugh and say, ha, 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 look at that. You know that you're in ignorance. You're sitting there and you'll say, ha, 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 look at that. I walked up on some of you. And then the next minute you're just caught away with just like that sitting in it. And in your mind you're wondering, well, that did happen. Hey, that is something like that. You know, you're playing around with God and you know that you're not right with God. If you was, you wouldn't mess with it. You wouldn't mess with it. Does a man want a wife that's going to be a whore? Does a woman want a husband that's going to be a whoremonger? Oh, somebody said, well, that wouldn't be, that would, oh yes, oh yes. If they're not carrying the doctrine of Christ, if they're not living the holy life of God, they couldn't have His Spirit no matter how much of the Spirit is poured out. It's still the tower. And no matter what they do in their demonstration, it doesn't matter. Naturally, they're going to pray for the sick. That's one of the big things, because everybody is sick and everybody runs to the hospital, and they're going to give them money if they think they've been healed or anything happens. They're going to give them money, and they can give them, get their money that way. Naturally, they're going to do it. But when you really look at it and you're really watching to see what happens, it's very rare that anything ever really happens. Like somebody was telling me a few days ago of a great thing that happened in a meeting. And this fellow really, he just got all sparked up. He's going to do whatever, and then he's going back to his way of life. And I told my wife, I said, he's got a shock coming. He's got a surprise coming. And it might be the end of the trail for him, and the fire will be waiting. So it's all show business. And folks, let me tell you, don't be overthrown by churches, by television programs, by radio programs, by fleshly enthusiasm of what seems to be experiences of emotion. Enjoy the wonderful presence of God. Love the Lord. Stay grounded in the truth. And be careful lest the floods wash you away. See, the rain is everywhere, and we don't have anything to say against those people. Paul said the gospel is being preached, whether for contention or otherwise, herein I rejoice. Well, that is, even if it's the minister of Satan himself, they're still carrying the word of life. And Jesus said the Pharisees and scribes, they sat in the seat of Moses. That's the way those people do. They sat in the seats of the sons of God. But said, don't you do what they do. Don't do what they do. But do what they tell you to do. When it comes to the Word. And like a few days ago, I heard of one of the real flashy, fast-growing ones. They hit him real hard. They hit him about a number of things. Hit him real hard about taking the money and some of them putting prayer requests on the envelopes. And the money was shelled out and the shell was thrown down. Even right there. And the people begin to find it. And they come against him. And he says, of course, he didn't know anything about it. And so to save face, he fired some folks. Whereas it isn't like that at all, folks. The thing is, it's like I'm telling you. It all come out in the wash, as we say. And you'll find out it all goes the same way. And unless one comes to the truth, it will always be that way. Always be so closed that it will deceive you that are not elect, and would deceive the elect if it was possible. Don't ever think that in Bethlehem everybody that's here is a Christian. Everything that glitters isn't gold. The sun shines on the fool's gold like the rain and the sunshine is on the tear. And it sparkles with the dewdrop. But it don't mean it has potentiality inwardly as to life. And there's numbers of people here as false brothers and sisters. And they in and out among us, and some of them live around. They get on the campground and wherever. See, and just remember, when somebody's talking to you, be sure that you're praying and watching, lest you be led into temptation or fall into temptation. God tells you to do the thing that pleases Him, lest He lead you into temptation. And you let somebody come along to get you if he finds out you're not sincere, and that you're not lining up with the minister, and that you're causing division by your talks and saying something about these things that you're always involved in or always seeing in your discussion, your conversation. And when God sees you doing that, causing the little children to get their minds all divided by the fantasies, after a while He'll let somebody come along that's a little sharper than you. And y'all will be fellas, and the first news you know, He'll be perverted your mind, and He'll be got your crown and gone. He'll be led you off into temptation. God knows how to protect the righteous and protect the babes, and how to lead you off into the slime pit. So then, while we're standing here tonight, examine yourself and see if you be in the faith by the hearing of the word, the only faith there is, the faith of Jesus Christ. Contend for this faith that was once delivered unto the saints, even the faith of Christ, which is the righteousness of God. Let's lift our hands up and close our eyes as we sing another little chorus here. And as singing this chorus, let's worship God. Ask God to come into the sanctuary tonight, come into our hearts, and help us with what we're doing. I want to praise my Lord. I want to praise my Lord. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Are you covered with the covering of God tonight? The Bible says, don't come in before me. You are wretched. You are naked. You are blind. Paul substantiated that by saying, oh, wretched man that I am. Don't come in here like that. Be baptized into Christ. Put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put the wedding garment on. Bring a garment that's been tried in the fire. Make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the desire of the lust thereof. So then, have you put on the wedding garment, which is the body of Christ, the Shekinah glory of God, the covering of His glory, that spiritual body? Are you bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh? Are you the resurrected Christ? Is it that it's not you living, but Him living in the life you now live? As to the Son of God, it's lived in your very flesh. And that you are alive from the dead is to commit your members unto God as one alive from the dead, not allowing Satan to reign in your mortal body to make this heavenly treasure manifest in your mortal genes. Are you doing that through the Shekinah light that makes your face to shine? As the sun shining within the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ, have you put on the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you been baptized into Christ Jesus? If so, then you are a candidate for eternal life. And you pass from death unto life, and old things have passed away. And all things have become new, and no former things to be remembered of that life. You've done away with every thought. You've brought every thought into subjection, so you don't have any plans or programs. And that man's dead, and that woman's dead. And now you have the mind of Christ, the pure mind. And because of this, the mind that you're born with is dead and gone. The image is thus gone, and the filth of the flesh washed away. And so then you're altogether a new creature, new world, justified, sanctified, glorified, and you're perfected forever, predestinated. You are God's workmanship in Christ, and you're complete in Him, and you're God's elect by foreknowledge, and no one can lay anything to your charge. Because you're God's elect, you're God's people, and you're altogether clean and holy and pure, and you have no evil thoughts, You have no evil thoughts of surmising. You have no evil thoughts of cunning things to take advantage of people. You have no evil thoughts of debauchery. You're not in the condition of Adam's seed as to the way him and Eve was. But you have the mind that was pure. Charity thinketh no evil. And you have the mind that never thinks evil thoughts. You never allow for one. It's always pure. For to the pure, all things are pure, every thought. But to the defiled and unbelieving is there nothing pure. Their very conscience is defiled. And they're always scrutinizing, always unclean, always finding fault, always looking at their brother in the wrong way. When the Bible said, esteem your brother better than yourself. Look on the things of the other. Don't find the discrepancy, but see him as the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you do not see him that way, then run for your life and get away from him. Don't be a fool. And if he is, don't be a fool and go the other way. You cannot lay anything to the charge. Think of him according to the charity of heart. Think of him as the Spirit, to know him after the Spirit. For that outer man is dead and buried and gone. Yield yourself as those as members that's alive from the dead, and don't let Satan reign in your body. That is rule in your body, not for one moment. I love him. I love him. All because that he first. Could ask Brother Willie to come and dismiss us. And he purchased my salvation on Calvary's. Sing that with me one more time while Willie's coming in. I love him.